Hey, whoa. Welcome to Grace Point Live tonight, everybody. Jerry and Betty, I hope you're watching. Said you were going to be tuning in. Charlie and I went over there and prayed today and had a great time in the Lord. Welcome to Grace Point Live. We're going to pray and get started, get right into the Word of God. Father, thank you for the Word of God. It's your Word to us. It's living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, I pray that you'll open the eyes of our heart and the eyes of our understanding, God. God, be merciful to us and gracious. Open our heart. Enlighten us, Lord. Let us know the hope of the calling that we have and the wealth of the riches of the inheritance we have. Lord, reveal to us the power that's available to us that believe, resurrection power, and Lord, the authority that we have in Christ. God, open the word up to us. Let us see, Lord. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to obey. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we've been teaching on authority. How many out there in TV land have seen Brother Charlie, his sermon from Sunday? He taught on authority. I taught on it a week before that, and then we're teaching on it again. And Charlie did a little demonstration of authority, too, as well as teaching on it, which was awesome. We're teaching on the authority of the believer. It's one of the most challenged topics by the devil, okay? Because the day that the church, which is you, finds out that you have authority in Jesus' name and we really believe it is the day that we begin to walk in victory. I was talking to someone today as we were leaving. We prayed for him and we said on the way out, we said, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Now, I don't know what you think about when you think about the world, but the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:4 that Satan, get this, some people don't know this, is the god of this world. That means he rules. He's the prince, according to Ephesians 2, he's the prince of the power in the air. And it says that he controls people are bound by him, and they're under his control. Now, that doesn't sound exactly like God is sovereign and control of everything, like some people teach. I know God is sovereign, and I know God is in control of everything in one sense, but the negative, nasty stuff that's happening on the earth, God's not making that happen. It happens because people are blinded by the devil. They're slaves to him. Remember we taught on this. It says we were by nature children of wrath. We're being controlled by the devil. We are in his kingdom before you come to Christ. So he can manipulate, deceive, and maneuver us into disobedience, breaking God's law, walking outside the Spirit, not walking in love, and then Satan can control us. God doesn't control it. You can think, I had a thing today we're going to pray about before we leave. I had a good friend of mine get in an accident today. And, it's really hurting right now. I don't believe all that stuff. God's not manipulating things so people can have these accidents and be damaged and, children lose their father or all these negativities. God's not working all that stuff out. There's a lot going on in the world that has to do with satanic power and the agreement of men. You go into countries where Satan has control, like India, where there's idols everywhere. Their temples have demons. People think often that it's hip or enlightening to worship foreign gods, like the gods in India. You go over there and you look at their temples, they have demons on those temples all over. And people are in bondage. And that brings poverty and cursing, and I've talked about this before, into the nation. You know, nations that are very violent are not blessed, where there's, all this violence going on in our country, which I don't want to get into it. God, I read it this week, God hates violence, hates it. He doesn't like people, punching people or a murder and mayhem and all this chaos. God hates it. God's a God of love. He doesn't want people being... When these things happen, Satan can control countries and people and groups and societies and bring his chaos on it. That's why the message of authority is so important, Larry, because we have to pray. The Bible doesn't say for no reason in, what is it, 2 Chronicles 7:14? God was talking to the children of Israel. He said, if my people pray, then I will be in control. Then I'll be in control. Otherwise, I'm lifting my hand off and judgment's coming and my hand's off and Satan's going to have his way. In the Old Testament, the Amorites or the Moabites or the Philistines, these are all type of demon hordes. Did you know that? They come in and wreak havoc. And it's not God. He's lifting his hand off and the enemies of God come in. So the people of God have to pray. We need to know how to pray in repentance for ourselves and for our nation. We need to know how to humble ourselves. I really think a lot of what happened Sunday morning, we had a really mighty visitation of God here at Grace Point, the Spirit of God. And it's only a trickle. We're expecting so much more, right? Mas, Jesus, mas, mas, Señor. We're expecting so much more from God, but we had the Holy Spirit. I really believe that's cultivated. On Saturday nights, we have a group of 5 to 6, 7 people come in here and pray. We're repenting. We're calling out to God. We're asking for his presence, and we're coming in on Sunday expecting it, and then the presence of God comes in. You know, a lot of things happen when the presence of God is in your house. Amen? So that's what the church is doing. We're praying to God. We're repenting, but also when we get up from prayer and we get up from repentance and we're filled with the Spirit of God, we can walk in authority. Amen? Amen. I've been teaching on this. I hope you, if you haven't heard last week's message and the week before, we've been talking about the authority of the believer. Men and women, the church, and we'll get into that maybe tonight, the church is God's agency on the earth. Did you know that? Look, it's real simple. If you just think of, just think how simple it is. Jace, the Bible says you are the body of Christ. Larry, the Bible says you have the Spirit of Christ. I've taught that when Jesus left, he had all power. He deputized the church and said, you go, right? In Mark 16, a little bit of review here. Mark 16 says, these signs will follow those that believe. In my name, they will cast out devils. We've had some demons cast out here. We're going to have more. We've seen them. Gone. Miracles. In my name, you will cast out devils. You will lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. A disciple, Jesus said, if anybody is my disciple, he will do the things that I am doing. In fact, in one place, and I talk about this a lot, Larry, but in John 14, 12, it says, and even greater things. That's remarkable. And just to think that Ken Kulikowski taught a message a month ago, and I've thought a lot about just the expression, original glory. In the beginning, when God created man, man had glory and dominion. We mentioned Psalms 8 last week. God crowned, man was the pinnacle of his creation, the very height of his creation, created in the image of God, created with authority, and he put him in the garden, and he made man his under-ruler. God obviously is in charge of everything, but he said, Adam, you keep the garden. I think, Charlie, you talked about it in your message. You name the animals, and he was over the garden. He was actually over the earth, okay? Satan came in and tempted man, and man fell. And because man fell, man has become sinful, degraded, wicked, evil, inferior, feels inferior, self-conscious, has an identity crisis, proud. Stuff happens off camera sometimes. Proud. So man's fallen. Actually, what happened was man fell into himself. He became self-conscious. Before, man was God-conscious. He was actually crowned with glory. The presence of God was over Adam. Michelle, did you know that? God's presence was over him. They were naked and they didn't know it. They were not ashamed. I really believe that they were clothed by the glory of God. They were naked and unashamed. The minute they fell and God's presence lifted, they knew that they were naked. Right? And they were ashamed. I think that's when Weight Watchers started. They just, oh, I'm naked. What's this? And they were ashamed, right? And so he fell. What Jesus did and what Ken taught is he restored man back to his original glory. Now get this. We're not restored to original glory autonomously. It's not a self-help group. It's not you having positive thinking. It's not you pulling yourself up by your bootstraps. People teach that in the Bible. There's nothing wrong with pulling yourself up by the bootstraps. There's nothing wrong with being a strong person. But that is not how our glory is restored. Our glory is restored through humility and walking in humble submission to the Spirit of God that God puts inside of us. Larry, we're born again. You are a new creation. And your mind sometimes just can't fathom, like, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Who are we? That you sent Jesus to die for me? Wait a minute. Jesus is the Son of God. He is a king in eternity, worshipped and adored for all eternity. He actually came out of the bosom of the Father, very God of God, and he left heaven to die for me? To die for me? Then who am I then? That God would value my life, Bill, your life, at the price of Jesus' blood. That's the value on your life. How much are you worth? Jesus' blood. God created man for fellowship. Now, we're not, and you have to understand, I say this humbly, we're not equal with God in the sense of, God's the authority in the universe. He's the one that has to be obeyed. He's the ruler of the universe, but we are made in his likeness. He can fellowship with us. Remember when he came down to the garden, he came down and walked with man in the cool of the evening. He wanted to hang out, Valeria. Like you, when you go for a walk, you say, well, I don't want to walk with the ladies all the time because I want to talk to God, right? That's what he wanted. He wanted someone to talk to. He wanted fellowship. He wanted, that's why he created man. He wanted to walk. And he was willing to share his glory. Okay, but you can't share the glory. No, the Bible says we are partakers of God's glory. It's his glory, but he clothes us. Would you deprive your little baby of your glory, Jace? No, never. In fact, the Bible says the glory of a children is their father. Did you know that? Your glory is your father. Our glory is our father. So he wanted fellowship, but he also wanted man to rule and reign and give him dominion. The kingdom of God is really the father and sons and daughters. The father and sons. We have to wake up in the church in humility and understand who we are. We are the body of Christ. I love what you did Sunday, Charlie. You brought Adam, a relatively new believer. You brought him up here and you like forced him to walk in his authority. You could tell that was like alien to him. Like, I got to do this? Yeah, you brought another sister up here and like, you do it, And it's unnatural until your mind is renewed to walk in your authority. Because we've been so deceived by Satan. The reason we're deceived, Larry, is because when you find out you have authority over the devil, and you know you do, they cast out devils. He trained his disciples to cast them out. You can't cast out a devil unless you have authority. It's not your authority. It's Jesus' authority. It's not yours, but you have his name. I've been studying the Old Testament, Sister Kittle, and I noticed that the temple was the place that they put the name of God. That's what you read 2 Chronicles, it says the name of God was there. I want a place to put my name. Where is the name of God put in the New Testament? In the temple. What's that? Yeah, in the temple, which is your heart, Bill, the name of God. And I preached on this a while ago. That's why we don't take the name of God in vain, okay? So when we wake up to our authority and begin to walk in our authority and realize we have power, and I know I'm repeating some of this, but that's okay. In Luke 10:19, Jesus said, behold, I give you power over all the power of the adversary, over the devil. Someone say amen. So I want to talk about the way authority works. Authority works with our mouth. Where does the power come from? It comes from God. Where does the authority come from? God. But who has to walk in the authority? How do we release authority? You speak and you act, but speaking is the primary thing you do. For example, Jackson, stand up. Jackson, stand up. That's authority. But if you were here, you can sit down, Jackson. That's authority. He stood up. Now, here's the interesting thing about what Jackson just did. Before he stood up, do you know what he did? He turned around and looked at his dad. Why did he look at his dad? Because his dad's his authority. He said, hey, Dad, that dude's telling me to stand up. Turns around. Dad has the authority. He's looking at the authority. You know that's what the devil does? You tell the devil, get out of here. He turns around and looks at your father and says, I better get out of here. Amen? So that's a perfect example right there. Jackson turned around looking at his dad. You have authority with your mouth. Pam, stand up. It's my wife, right? She don't have to look at anybody. She's my wife. You can sit down, babe. Thanks. Okay, authority is released through our mouth. The word says, remember when the 70 came back, and I'm not teaching on that tonight. When the 70 came back, they said, Jesus, even the spirits obey us in your name. Remember that? He said, when I use your name, even the spirits obey us. And he said, don't rejoice in that the devils obey you, but rejoice because your name is written in heaven. But they were so excited because they realized they had power over the devil. You know, it's a great day when we quit coming to church and testifying how we're on the run from the devil, and we come into church and start testifying how he's on the run from us. Amen? Amen? He's on the run from me. David said, I could teach so much, Lord. David, that's why David inquired of the Lord. He'd say, Lord, should I attack? We're in relationship with God. Lord, should I attack? And God said, go get him. And then David said he pursued, he overtook, and he overthrew his enemy. David, Charlie, pursued his enemies. He went after them. He was on the offensive. Jesus was not on the defensive. Jesus wasn't going home at night saying, I hope I don't have cancer. I hope the devil doesn't attack me. And Lord, those Pharisees are so mean. Please, Lord, help me. The Pharisees are so mean. And Lord, what if I get this? And what if that happens? And he was going to bed and pillowing his head and sleeping like a baby. I can prove it from the scripture. And he would get up in the morning a great while before dawn. Someone, you need to listen to this. You wonder why things aren't working. Listen to what I'm saying. He would get up a great while before dawn, and he would go spend time with his father. And he cultivated a relationship, Bill, with his father. Could just be in the quiet of your time where him and the father are talking. And I think, Larry, when Jesus said, I don't do anything but what I see the father do, I think in the morning he was talking, God was talking about the day, God was showing him things, you're going to go to Bethsaida today. Him and Lord, he was worshiping God. He was probably wrestling in prayer, praying for people, praying about the day. So when he went out in the morning after he had prayed and sought God all night, he was clothed in the glory. He knew what he was doing. So that when the demons saw him, they said, oh no, it's the Son of God. Why have you come to torment us before our time? Do you know the devil can see the glory on you? He knows whether you're walking in it or not. When they saw Paul, the devil said, these are the great men of God coming to, you know, they did the same thing to Paul that they did to Jesus. Don't torment us. These are the great men of God. And finally, Larry, Paul got tired of it and he turned to the devil. I believe he had a discerning of spirits. And he said, shut up and come out of them. And they left. He was in relationship. And this is where the grace comes in. I'm going to get to Mark 11, 23 and 24, I promise. This is where relationship comes in. And I teach authority with relationship. Because a lot of people say, well, I tried this, I tried that. It's not about trying anything. It's about knowing. You don't try authority. You either have it or you don't. Right, Jackson? Right? Your dad either has authority or he doesn't have it. Amen? You don't try, you do, as Yoda said. There is no try, there is only do. Do or do not, but do not try. Either have authority or don't have authority. Remember how I taught everybody how to position a couple weeks ago? And whatever your position is, in that place you have authority. Jesus here, he's a father. He has authority as a father. I don't have any authority in Valeria's life, but Jace as a father, or in Coco's life, I can be a friend, I can offer help, but Jace has the authority in this family. He can pray with authority. Now, he can ask me to pray over Coco and lend me his authority. And that's what, when I pray for you or Charlie prays for you, Charlie, today when we prayed for Betty, you said, do you give me permission to pray for you? She had to give you her authority to do that. And that'll work a lot of times, but as we grow in the Lord, we have to get our own relationship. So you have authority. Sandy, you have a farm. Those are your goats. I have no authority over those goats, but you do. They live or die by you, and that's real authority. If I go and take your goats, what's that called? Stealing, right? The thief comes not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. I'd be stealing. Those are your goats. You have authority. So President Trump, despite what some people may like or not, whether you like it or not, it's not the point. He is the president of the United States. He has presidential authority. If you try to usurp it from him, you're in rebellion. Satan is a rebel. He never submits to authority. Never. He always finds a reason. I have had jobs in my life and bosses that were very difficult. And the Lord, we're talking about authority. The Lord showed me in these difficult assignments where I had difficult bosses, he never told me that I didn't have to listen to my boss ever. He always said, buck up, little buckaroo. If you're done crying, he comforted me. I read the word, he comforted me, and he said, okay, get back in there. Listen to your boss. And I had to go. I had some very challenging situations. When I humbled myself and listened to my boss and stayed under authority, God always delivered me. If you want to have authority, you got to be under authority. I could teach on that tonight. I'm not going to do it, but you read the story. Maybe we'll get to it because it's a great story. The story of the centurion. When Jesus was going to come heal his servant, he said, don't come to my house. What did he tell him to do? Speak the word only. Just speak it. And Jesus said, you've got great faith. The centurion said, no, I understand authority. I have servants under me, and I have a boss. And when I tell a servant, he goes. And when I tell another one to come, he comes. And Jesus said, your faith is great. Why was his faith great? Why, you can answer somebody. Why was his faith great? Because he understood authority. He got it. He got authority. The Lord's been showing me, man, if I could just show you everything in one night, what God's showing me in there about authority, everything comes down to authority. Everything in life. And the rebellion, the Antichrist, is constantly rebelling against authority. God doesn't do things against authority. Did you know that? That's why God doesn't sovereignly come down and bless Haiti. He needs Haitians to agree with him and to pray over their country and to repent and to use their authority. He needs the Haitians to pray for their nation. He needs them to get out of voodoo. Some Haitians go to church on Sunday, then they practice voodoo on Monday. It needs to stop. He needs them under his authority. We can't be a rebellious people and live in rebellion. God doesn't bless rebellion. Did you know that? Some people think Jesus was a rebel, like he had tattoos and he had long hair and drove a Harley. No offense back there. You know, not that it's wrong to ride a Harley. It's not. Hey, it's great to have Bill back in the house. Amen. That's not how he was. No, Jesus never broke the law of God. Did you know that? That doesn't sound like a rebel to me. He was a rebel to the Pharisees who had usurped the authority of the true line of Levites, and they weren't even the right priest at that time. They had all this corruption and bribery, and the lineage of the Levites was even cut off. They didn't even have legitimate priests. The king wasn't even legitimate. Nothing that was going on in Jesus' time was legitimate. It was all false authority. Remember when, I'm going to get to this, Mark 11, 23 and 24. Remember when Jesus was casting out devils and doing all those things? What did they ask him? Think about authority, guys. Let's get it in there. Think about authority. What did they ask Jesus? Yeah, who gave you this authority? And really, the word is exousia, I believe. It means authority. Sometimes King James translates it power. But he goes, who gave you this authority? Remember? And Jesus said, okay, well, answer me this. John the Baptist, was it from heaven or from men? And because Jesus had him, because they're political, like people are political today. Well, if I say this, the Democrats won't vote for me. But if I say that, the Republicans won't vote for me. We don't know. Right? He goes, well, I'm not going to tell you either. Where my authority? Where did Jesus get his authority? From God. From God. And he lived under authority. He was actually the king from the line of David. He was the legitimate king coming from the throne of David. Amen? Amen. He's still the king. Woo! Woo-hoo-hoo! I felt that one. Woo! He's still the king. I want to say one thing before I get into this Mark 11, 23 and 24, because it's really important. For me, it's everything. Guys, this isn't, Jesus' authority is not a magic wand. We have to be under his authority. Our authority comes when we walk in the Spirit. I've heard people speak in Jesus' name and doing this and doing that. If you're not in the Spirit, you're not walking in the Spirit, which means walking in love. You're walking outside of love, walking in strife with your right, not listening to the Lord, not spending time in prayer. You won't walk in authority. The authority is God's. We're his deputies. He's still the sheriff. Amen? The Bible says in 1 Peter, he sits at the right hand of God, principalities and powers being made subject to him. We still submit ourselves to him. We still seek God. We ask God about things. We don't take things for granted, although there are some things that are ours. Remember that prayer we pray in Ephesians? Some things are ours by inheritance. They belong to us. Amen. We can take them because God's offered them to us, but we still need to stay under his authority. When we're outside of authority, we open ourselves up to the attack of the enemy. The Amalekites come into your life. How many have had some Amalekites in their life? I have. I'm still chasing a few Ammonites out. Amen. We have to grow in this, guys. We need to grow. Jesus grew himself in wisdom and stature. Amen? We need to grow in this. That's what the Bible says. Jesus grew in wisdom and stature. That's on his manhood side. Okay, let me read Mark 11. Turn to Mark 11, 23 and 24. I'm talking about authority. Pam, what time is it? 7:26. Good, right on target. Okay, we'll start with verse 20. In the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Remember, okay, now I'll get over that. Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered. Jesus said, have faith in God. I tell you the truth, if anyone... Michelle, this is really important because Jesus said, I'm telling you the truth. Whenever he said that, verily, verily, I say unto you, he's trying to get, I'm not kidding. Don't let a theologian mess you up. I'm telling you the truth. Don't let some guy 1,000 years later come and tell you this isn't true. Verily, verily, I, Jesus, am telling you. He's taking it out of the realm of theologians. He's telling you what he is saying. Amen? He says, I tell you the truth. If any one of you, any one of who? You, say to this mountain, go, throw yourself into the sea, and does not, this is very important, does not doubt in her heart, but she believes that what she says will happen, she will have what she says, or another translation, it will be done for her. Did he mean it? He did. Why don't we walk in more of this authority? What do you think? One thing, we haven't been taught it. All right. Then he goes on. Therefore, I tell who? You. I circled the word you in my New King James in this two verses. I think the word you, is like 8 or 9 times, or do it in your King James. See how many times he uses the word you. He's putting the emphasis on you, Larry. He's saying, you're always putting it on me. Larry, I want to put it on you. I say to you, if you say to the mountain, if you believe in your heart, if you don't doubt. See, man has authority. Jesus is restoring your authority. That's what's going on. Jesus came back to bring you back to God into your original glory, restoring authority, so he's putting it back on you. He's saying, you want to get saved? Then you pray. Charlie and I today, there was a guy named Nick, 87 years old. Don't think the man had ever said the sinner's prayer. And we said hi to him. The Lord compelled us to go back to him. We're like, say this prayer. Like, you know if you're going to go to heaven? No. Then you need to say this prayer. He was telling us his testimony. He had leukemia for 15 years, and he didn't know if he's going to heaven, 87. Who knows how long? We said, you say this prayer. I could have just prayed for him and said, God bless you. But I said, do you believe Jesus? Yeah, I believe in Jesus. Okay, you need to say this prayer. You need to tell Jesus that you believe in him, and you are putting your faith. Could I say the prayer for him, Larry? He had to say it. He had to confess with his mouth and believe in his heart, and he did. He did. He said the prayer. Now he's in God's hands. Amen? We'll leave him to God. That was right after we left you guys. Oh, did you? He prayed with us. Praise the Lord. You see me, I tried to walk away from him. I couldn't do it. I came back. Okay. So he says, you. The emphasis here is on you. He says, I tell you. Then he says, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believing that you have received it, it will be yours. Then he gives you some instruction. When you stand praying, don't hold anything against anybody. Forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive you. The love walk is so important to exercising faith. I think it's Galatians 5, 6, maybe 5, 4, somewhere around there. It says faith works by what? Love. You can't operate in faith without what? If you're bitter toward people and you're angry, this is why politics and watching the news all the time, and God knows that I struggle with this, okay? That's why getting your mind all heated and angry and upset all the time is not good for your faith. It's okay to get some of it, to stay informed, but if you wrap up your heart in it, you won't have great faith. In fact, what will happen, your love will grow cold. You'll get angry at people. Instead of loving the other party, I almost said the other party. Instead of loving the other party, you'll be angry at them. God wants us to be soul winners. He wants us to drop the net. He wants us to love people that are different than us. He wants us to love Muslims enough to preach the gospel to them. He wants to love other people that are different to us. He wants us to love angry people. He wants us to love Republicans. He wants us to love Democrats. He wants us to love Black Lives Matter. He wants us to love people that are bound up in homosexuality. He wants us to love people even when they slander us and they say evil things about us. He wants us to walk in love. It's the law of the new creation. It's the law of sonship. It's the law of God. The love of God is the law of God. Amen? Amen? So when we walk in that love, we'll have great faith. That's why he's telling you to forgive. Forgiveness has everything to do about love, trusting God, letting go. So the emphasis here, if we are going to walk in the authority of God, we have to learn that we are speaking people. We have to learn that we speak the word. This is why, Larry, our time with God and cultivating a relationship with God, inquiring of God, seeking God, a lifestyle of dependency. Do you know the word says that Jesus was heard from God the Father because he feared? Did you know that? That's in Hebrews. I believe it's chapter 5. He said Jesus was heard because he feared. He feared God. Says he cried. He got up and prayed, and he wrestled, and he cried with strong tears. It wasn't a casual thing for Jesus. He was crying. He had strong tears, and he had to submit himself in a world that was anti-Christ, and he was Christ. He had to seek out God, seek out God's will, pray and cry out to God. And the word says he was heard because he feared. Now, if Jesus had to wrestle and cry and fear, what do we have to do? We got to walk soft. Same thing. You know, one thing I really appreciated, Charlie, about Sunday, is, which you know when the Lord is present, you feel humble. It's not hard to get on your face when you really, isn't the presence of God wonderful? But it humbles you. You say things like, man, Lord, who am I? Who am I? Wow, Lord, who am I? And when you get up from pure worship and humbling yourself before God, you feel the presence of God. You feel clean. You're ready for some authority. Amen? You're ready for some anointing. Amen? But folks, this is why relationship is so important. But we got to get up from our prayer. We got to get up from our word time. And we have to start practicing our authority. Okay, you can exercise authority wherever you have the responsibility in that area. In my life, okay, over my life, I have authority. Jace, if I get sick, I can pray for myself. I have authority over my body. Who decides what I eat? Please take with my next statement. Who decides who I sleep with? Me. Well, other people could be involved in that, but I do. Who decides what I put my eyes on? Me. Who decides whether I slander or praise, complain or exercise faith? Me. I do. Who decides what I say? Me. The Bible says, God, how can two people walk together unless they agree? The reason we meditate in the Word and pray and spend time with God is we're learning, and spend time in the Spirit is we're learning to be in agreement with God. God's not going to change his mind, you know. I mean, he can, and you know, I don't know, he can, but God really doesn't change his mind. When he has a will for you and he's determined on it, you know, God doesn't change. He is who he is. We're the ones that have to change. We're the ones that have to come in line in humility and repentance, okay? But in my life, when something tries to get on me, or a sickness or a temptation to sin, I have the authority to say no. I decide whether I'm going to watch that movie or turn it off. I decide whether I'm going to look at pornography. Oh, the devil made me do it. Liar, liar, pants on fire. You decided to do it. You did it because you wanted to do it. You've given into it so many times, it has a stronghold in your mind, and you are no longer in control. You are bound by the devil. And you have to repent and get before God and ask him to cleanse you, forgive you, wash you from it, ask to forgive, and God will cleanse you. He'll wash you from it. When you come to him with strong cryings and tears, he'll wash you from it. He'll forgive you from it. And then when you get up, you have the presence of God. You'll have authority. Then when the temptation comes next time, you can say, no, I'm not going to do it. I am not going to do it. I have authority over my eyes. Job said, I made a covenant with my eyes what I'm going to see. When you start growing in that, growing in your authority, sickness, Jesus said, okay, we're talking about speaking, right? Folks, listen, there's grace in this. We have to grow in it. I'm not perfect in it. I'm not saying I'm perfect in it, but we have to grow in this. If we're not pursuing it, we're not growing. Amen? Come on. Jesus said in Matthew, and Charlie, you preached on this. I'm just copying Charlie, everybody. Don't get mad at me. In Matthew 10:1, Jesus called the 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and every sickness, okay? So you have authority, and you need to begin exercising it in your life. You need to take authority. You have dominion. There are things in your life that you have to tell to go. There are things in your life that you have to say no to. If you meditate in the Word and get a revelation that Jesus is fundamentally a healer, you can begin to take authority in your own life over your own body. It's kind of hard when you're 80 years old and you have a disease and you don't really know what the Bible says to operate in authority. That's why a lot of times we have to call somebody else in to operate in authority. But we need to grow in this. Amen? I'm not perfected in it, but I'm walking in it. Does that make sense? I'm not perfected in it, but I'm walking. Every time something gets on me, I rebuke it, Charlie. I don't just accept it. In cold season, and I don't know when's the last time I had a cold, but and that's by the grace of God. In cold season, I don't turn TV on and watch and say, it's cold season, and flu, and say, yep, it's cold season. I'm going to get the flu. Or turn on and you got aches and pains and you have arthritis, and yep, I'm going to get a, I don't agree with that stuff. Do you know the world's controlled by the devil? 2 Corinthians 4:4, it already tells you that. So half the stuff, 90% of the stuff you see on TV is Satan brainwashing you and conditioning you to the unoriginal glory. He's convincing you that you're made for cold season and you need mucus meloxicin 5 or whatever it is. He's convincing you that you have to hate Democrats. He's on there constantly warring, making a war on your mind, trying to convince you that you're a sinner, you're no good, and you have to do what he says. You have to live for the things that he's constantly attacking us through media, through TV, through music, through relationships, through people, any doorway, books, any school system, universities, they're full of the devil now. College universities are full of the devil, Marxism, horrible stuff. He is controlling the world. When he controls the universities, he controls the students. When he controls the TV and you're watching it, he controls you. In the NFL, oh God help me, in the NFL, you cannot wear a shirt that says Jesus is Lord or John 3:16 when you do an interview. You got to take the shirt off to do an interview. But you could go up and support a rebellious, violent, and Marxist organization, and they have no problem with it. Why? Because they're under the authority of the devil. And you watch it, and it gets in your heart. I didn't mean to be so heavy. That's why Proverbs 4, then we want to walk in authority. Proverbs, and then I want to walk in authority. Proverbs 4 says, it makes me weak. Proverbs 4 says, guard your heart with all diligence, because out of your heart flow the issues of life. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. If you put that junk in, you're going to get junk out. And when you get junk out, Satan's going to control you. You put the Word of God in the furnace of your heart. You put some good old repentance in there. You put some love in there. You put some faith in there. Trials come, Jesus is going to answer the door. Amen? And that's what we want. Amen? God will give us grace for it. That's why there's nothing, better we can do than to seek God. He is the one that can bless you. He is the one that can anoint you. He is the one that can crown you with favor. He's the one that can strengthen you to fight your enemy. Talking about authority. Did I do a good enough job tonight, Sandy? Okay, let's go over to Ephesians chapter 2. I want to say this. We're going to get off of this. Folks, there is no condemnation in Christ. We all need to grow in this stuff. But we need to understand what we're fighting. Amen? First pieces of this that you're struggling with, then put it on a shelf. Keep studying. If you pray for God to open your eyes, he'll show you what you need to know. Amen? Okay. Paul says in Ephesians 6, he says, finally, my brothers, be strong in who? The Lord. That entails relationship. And in the power of whose might? His might. That entails relationship. Put on the full armor of God that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against powers in this what world? Dark world, the NIV. The world ain't your friend. All that's in the world, the Bible says, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not from God. It is from the devil. Do you know in 1 John 5 it says this whole world is in darkness? We think it's a party here. The Bible says it's in darkness. It's hostile toward God. The world is hostile toward God. Romans 8, which I taught on, says the carnal mind can't obey God's law. Doesn't have the ability to do it. It's okay, Coco. I'm almost done, Coco. Against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms, Therefore, Michelle, put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the wiles of the devil. You have to stand against the wiles of the devil. I won't go there and spend any time there, but if you'll go back and you'll read in chapter 2, and I've read this before, but it tells you in chapter 2, verse 2, it says, you used to live under the power of darkness when you followed the ways of the world. I think King James says, the course of this world, and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who now works in those who are disobedient. There is a spirit that works in those that are disobedient. That's why when we go out into the world, you can expect opposition. The world isn't our friend. We, like Jesus, love the world. We hold forth the gospel. We're new creations made in the love image of God. We offer out salvation and forgiveness and love, but we cannot expect the world is going to love what we love. Amen? The world is not your friend. It's your enemy. So why are we amazed when all the organizations turn on God? I don't support a lot of these things anymore. When I'll go to a store and shop there, or I'll do something and support it, but when they go full-blown Antichrist, I don't support them. I don't watch them. When they cross that line, the Antichrist line, I don't support them. All right, folks, I'm going to end there. Read, meditate in Mark 11, 23 and 24. Look at these scriptures. You can go back and listen to this again about authority. Repent. Get in that right relationship with God. Walk in the Spirit, and God will teach you. I had another thing I wanted to teach. I'll teach it next week. God will teach you more as you begin to walk in your authority. We'll see you next Wednesday night in Jesus' name. Thank you.